This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're very happy to have on today's program Dr. Medford B. Evans, staff consultant to the Citizens Councils of America. Dr. Evans is a former college professor, received his Ph.D. from Yale University, and he's a one-time chief of security training for the Atomic Energy Commission. He resigned that post to write a book, The Secret War for the A-Bomb. Dr. Evans, it's a real pleasure to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Dick. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'd like to point out at the beginning that we're going to digress from the topic that we've been discussing on recent programs in this series, the civil rights bills, in order to take up another topic, which has been very much, of course, in the minds of the American people. The events of November 22nd and the following days shocked Americans. Of course, a great deal has been written and spoken concerning the assassination of President Kennedy and the subsequent death of his alleged murderer, Lee Oswald. But Dr. Evans, I believe enough time has elapsed since these tragic events to give us a chance to take a backward look at what's happened and perhaps to place these momentous days in some perspective. So with your cooperation, I'd like to do that on this program. To begin with, it's been definitely established that the man authorities say shot President Kennedy, Lee Harvey Oswald, was a communist, a Marxist by his own definition, that he even took an oath of allegiance to Russia and renounced his American citizenship in order to live and work in Russia just a few years ago. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that's my understanding. Of course, on an interview in New Orleans last summer, he denied that he was a communist and said he was a Marxist, this being a distinction without a difference. My understanding is that in Dallas, after his arrest this time, he announced somewhat proudly that he was a communist. You realize that to a Marxist, it is a badge of distinction to be a communist, and therefore he seemed to have gained some confidence in the interim. But certainly he was a member of the communist movement.
Yet before these facts about Oswald became known, in fact, before it was even known that someone had been taken into custody for shooting President Kennedy, many public figures, joined by network commentators, were blaming President Kennedy's assassination on what they called the radical right. Now, why do you believe they were making these kind of statements?
Oh, I think this is a simple case of the bigotry of the left. You see, the criticism of the right has become so fashionable and is echoed by so many people that these people lose their power actually to think. This is an example of pure prejudice, so that if something bad happens, they automatically assume it must have been done by a right-winger because they're incapable of genuine analysis.
Why do you believe, Dr. Evans, that after the disclosure of Oswald's communist background, the fact that he'd even taken up residence in Russia, that the public figures who were blaming the assassination on the radical right made no public retractions?
This seemed to be a sort of traumatic experience. You recall that on that day, for about 2 hours after the revelation that Oswald had done it, or apparently had done it, and that he was a commie, that the commentators didn't say anything about this subject. After a couple of hours, they got their wits together and came out with some theories which re-involved in their own opinion the right. But the first revelation that Oswald was a commie shook them up so bad they didn't know what to say.
There's been another reaction to the assassination, and that's been a series of statements from some clergymen, editorial writers, and commentators and so forth, to the effect that the whole nation must share what they call a collective guilt for President Kennedy's death. In other words, that because a communist apparently has shot and killed an American president, the entire nation, including all the patriotic citizens who are not communists, are somehow responsible. Could you explain or comment on this?
The only sense in which this sort of thing has any truth whatever is that human beings are all tarred with original sin. But In practice, this means that no one is ever guilty of anything. It would result in just the abandonment of orderly administration. Now, from a sensible point of view, this thing doesn't make any sense. It was dragged in merely because the guilt could not be confined to the right wing, and therefore, since it was clearly on the left wing, they said, well, everybody is to blame, so as to get the right wing in on it. It's perhaps worth pointing out that this is the most extreme form of guilt by association. In other words, we are all guilty, say these people, simply because we are Americans, or perhaps even because we're just human beings. Now, these very people are the ones who normally deplore what they have called guilt by association. Yet here, to protect their own preconceptions, they indulge in the most extreme form of guilt by association imaginable.
In other words, you believe that a lot of these collective guilt statements are the product of a mind which is unwilling to re-examine its own preconceptions and prejudices.
Yes, indeed. It's a kind of flight from reality.
We've heard a quotation very much in recent weeks, a quotation from John Donne. No man is an island.
No man is an island, and therefore never send to ask for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. Of course, at least since Ernest Hemingway wrote the novel For Whom the Bell Tolls, that title having come from the quotation of John Donne's that you mentioned, this has been a favorite passage with the left liberal people, including many people who never read anything by John Donne, the great metaphysical poet of the 17th century who became the Dean of St. Paul's, and he actually, this was in one of his sermons that this passage occurred. Now, the passage from Donne is a wonderful passage from English literature, and there's not any objection in the world to it in its original form. It's strange, however, that it is applied by the left liberal establishment only in situations where it serves some purpose of theirs. For instance, when Diem and his brother, Madame Nu's husband, were killed in Saigon, in South Vietnam, I didn't hear anyone then quoting, no man is an island. I didn't hear anyone then saying, we must grieve for Diem or for Nu because they too are human beings.
There was no idea of collective guilt for their deaths.
No, indeed, there was not. It was pretty hard-hearted performance by the mass media when the Diems were killed. They seemed to think, and good riddance, that seemed to be the prevailing attitude at the time. A pretty tough attitude even toward the widow, Madame Nu. This is in strange contrast with the sentimentality that we have seen recently.
A great deal of condemnation has been heaped upon the city of Dallas and the people of Dallas because that's where this tragedy took place. Now, Dr. Evans, I know that you grew up in Texas and you've lived in many other parts of the country since then. And I'd like for you to discuss this a little bit. Do you believe that this collective condemnation of a city or of the people of a city is justified?
Well, of course it is not justified. It is absurd, and it is also wicked. I'm reminded of a thing that occurred during World War II. There was a Bohemian village, or Czechoslovakian village, Lidice. In the village of Lidice, there were people who allegedly helped the Czech patriots that assassinated Reinhard Heydrich, one of Hitler's deputies. The Nazis, to punish this assassination, wiped the village of Lidice off the map, which was a barbaric act and a terrible thing to do. At that time, the liberals realized fully the horror of this thing, and Lidice became a kind of symbol of the ultimate crime, genocide, and the extreme form of cruel guilt by association. Today, we see the same moral attitude that the Nazis had toward Lidice on the part of the liberals toward Dallas.
Dr. Evans, it's been reported recently that Lee Oswald's widow has told authorities that Oswald admitted to her that he fired a shot at former Major General Edwin A. Walker at Walker's home in Dallas earlier this year. You've been closely associated with General Walker in the past couple of years. Could you tell us something about that shooting incident?
A little bit. I have had the privilege of being a friend of General Walker's. And I have been in his home since this shooting occurred and seen the hole in the wall that the bullet left there. I was not there the night the shooting occurred, so my knowledge is, of course, secondhand. My understanding is that this occurred shortly before April the 15th. I forget the exact day, but General Walker was preparing his income tax return and, oddly enough, owes his life to the Bureau of Internal Revenue. For he leaned over to fill in part of the blank just as the shot was fired. The bullet went, marksman was very good, and the bullet took a path that would have gone right through General Walker's head if he hadn't ducked his head just at that minute and went into the wall. Now, we know that Oswald, the essential facts here fit. We are told by the press that Oswald got the rifle in March. It was delivered to Dallas, the general delivery in Dallas, and of course General Walker was shot at in April. We might think of this perhaps as a kind of dry run or rehearsal. Apparently, if Oswald did do both shootings, then of course he was more successful in November than he had been in April.
Well, Dr. Evans, it's easy to understand why a communist would take a shot at a right-winger such as General Walker, who's been a special target of the communists. But many right-wingers have in the past said that the Kennedy administration was somewhat soft on communism. And if this was actually the case, why would a communist kill President Kennedy, who by his own definition was left of center in his political program?
Dick, in the first place, it's impossible for a normal human being to know why the communists do anything. The communist mentality is a particular kind of paranoia. However, we can, on the basis of studying what communists do, speculate about perhaps why they did something in a particular occasion. I can say this, the communists are very hard to please. The fact that anyone goes along with them on a certain occasion generates no feeling of gratitude on their part whatsoever. The communists believe in their own concept of the course of history, and presumably they simply thought that the time had come for President Kennedy to exit from the stage of history, and they cooperated with that which they considered inevitable anyhow.
Dr. Evans, thank you very much for today's discussion. We'll be looking forward to having you again on the program very soon. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Dr. Medford Evans, staff consultant to the Citizens Councils of America. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series, resuming our discussions of the civil rights bills. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.